morning.
Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Happy Derby. Got you. So we are in this sermon series about transformation, Romans 12. And today we have a little testimony on how God worked on us in the transformation, our journey, and the importance of following the Spirit and obeying God's word. So our brother here that you usually see him, you know, playing, now he's talking. That's good. It's a transition.
I can't do that.
You can do that? Can you put your hands together for my brother here? Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. And for those that don't know me, I'm Chet Puckett. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how God transformed my life about 30, 40 years ago. Let's review what the scripture says as Yosmar preached it last week. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, as I said, about 40 years ago, I never considered I needed to be transformed, or my mind needed to be renewed. I'd been a Christian since I was 10 years old, and I grew up in a very conservative church, didn't have instrumental music, so some of the things I'm doing now are quite unique to me, but I grew up with a very arrogant heart, and I thought I had all the answers to life's walking as a Christian. God didn't want me to continue to think that way. So about that time, my oldest son, who was 15 at the time, stole my car, ran away from home, and took a 13-year-old friend with him from Memphis, Tennessee to Oklahoma City. And that began a change that forever changed me and my family. So we began a journey that took us into a Christ-centered program for teens, troubled teens, that was supposed to have been a 9-month program that we squeezed into 21 months. So it took a little longer than we expected, but God had a plan. During that time, we couldn't go to our respective churches. We went to a church where there was is one of the largest churches in Memphis that sponsored this teenage program. And we were able to be ministered to be counseled, and to be blessed. And we were blessed beyond our imagination. And I wanted to join this church, but it was against my legalistic thinking. It was against my belief systems at the time, but I wanted to join. So a good friend who had gone through similar problems came to me and said, "Chet, what is it that you really trust in?" And I had to evaluate that for several months. It troubled me. And I realized that I did not have Jesus at the top of my priority list. I had 3 or 4 other things that were higher on my commitment than Jesus. And so when I flipped the script and put him at the top, I surrendered all those things to him. And almost immediately thereafter, he started blessing me in ways that I never expected or dreamed of. I was being asked to play music. People found out I played guitar, played music for Emmaus Walks, for our adult retreats. When we came here to Louisville, I was asked to lead a worship team that I did for 14 years. And so God blessed me well beyond what I ever dreamed would happen. When I came here during the COVID years, I was used to help with a team that wasn't as available as normal, and I continue to be blessed to praise him and use these talents. God can transform and did transform my heart and my mind, and I believe he can do that with each and every one of us if we'll surrender what we believe is important to what he believes is important. So I encourage each one of you to consider that if God's nudging you toward that end, because I see a major, mighty work that God's doing here at this church. And I'm excited about it, looking forward to what God's results are, and I pray that you will be too. Thank you for listening.
So as we reflect on this powerful passage on Romans 12, remember that the Apostle Paul is making a case about the importance of connecting the practice of doctrine with doctrine. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Yes, sir. So the Apostle Paul, you know, he's making a case, building the connection between internal transformation and actual practice, a connection between doctrine and practice, which is actually what true obedience is. If we only listen to God's word, but we do not put it into practice, then we have a half obedience, which is actually disobedience, right? Because God is asking us to obey. It's like your child. You said, hey, you know, just pick up and get your stuff and organize your room. And she or he hears you, but don't do anything. Is that obedience? No. But if she or he not only hears you, but also go and do it, that's obedience, right? And sometimes they can add a little bit of attitude there and going like this. But it's fine. I'd rather have that than not having obedience. They can deal with the attitude later. That's another part of the process. But here, Paul is giving us a list of things that we can do, and if we do it, we are showing the true marks of a transformed heart. Now, my thing is, when I was reading this, I thought, you know what? I think I can read this and then go home and close the Bible because it's super simple. You don't have to spend much time. I don't have my click yet. I don't know what it is, but I think we can read the Bible together. It says, Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people. Thank you. Now I'm complete. Okay, so be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited, in other words, opinionated, arrogant, and self-important. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, that's key, sometimes does not depend on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but do what? So it's almost like you can read this list, close the Bible, and that's it. End of the sermon, right? Because it's super, super simple, and that's the mark. Now, why is it so difficult then to go ahead and obey this teaching? Remember that I've been saying to you that true discipleship is not only teaching, it's not only hearing. True discipleship is teaching to obey. So the only way we can actually make disciples if we create a space to not only teach people, but help people to obey the commandments, obey the word of God. Not only helping them, but also modeling before them how a transformed life is lived in community, in the marketplace. And that's the expectation that God has. When the world see a child of God that is transformed, that is contagious, right? People want that. People don't have time for pretenders. As I shared last Sunday, people actually want to see a life that is transformed. Now, this transformation is actually a reflection of an internal transformation, a transformation of the heart. And the moment we experience that, God will actually show himself through us to others. And the message of the gospel, the message of every single church, should be about not only talking about ethical practices, and it's not an ethical, a religion based on ethics, but it's a religion based on a man. His name is Jesus, and when he comes to your life, he transforms you, and now because you are transformed by faith, now you work, now you pray, now you fast, now you read the Bible. So we are not saved for works, we're saved by faith, but then we start acting and doing things that show to everybody the transformation that we have. So imagine that in every single church around the world, instead of sharing stories about my uncle and what happened last summer, we actually start teaching people about who God is. And then not only that, we leave this place to make God known. So you come here to know God, and then you want to make him known to other people. But the Christian faith is all about knowing who this God is, so that when he comes back, when Jesus comes back, then you go with him. Some people discuss if the second coming of Christ will be before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation. My simple answer to that is, you will not go with a person that you don't know anywhere. Period. Doesn't matter when it is. If a person shows up in your house with a wonderful car and you don't know that person, show up, click, click, knock, knock, and then say, let's go around the city, will you go? We don't go. You will not go. Why? You don't know the person. I don't care how well it looks. I don't care. Some people are dangerous, and they do. But if you have common sense, you will not jump into a car with strangers. Yes or no? Okay. So with Jesus, it's the same time. Same thing. He's coming back, but when he calls you, you will not go to a person that you don't know. You will hide from him instead of going to him, because when you see yourself, when you see your life, and you see your brokenness and your mess, your first instinct will be to run from Jesus, unless you know that he is actually loving, that he loves you, that he died for you on the cross. Once you understand that, then you start turning and seeking him to expand your life in eternity with him. So this practice of Christian hope, joy, having joy in the midst of trials, patient endurance, being faithful in prayer, seeking God, practice generosity, all these things are as a result of a transformation in our hearts. And when we start getting this right, then we now can teach others, and not only teach others, but teach them to obey. And God will bless us like never before. How do we know that? Well, when you are in a situation, and then you have friends and colleagues, or you are in the marketplace, you show up to work, and the CEO says, today is your last day. There is no more job. Your job is over. Find another job. You have 50 people in that company. Out of those 50, let's say that 10 of them are believers. They believe in God. They are true disciples of Jesus. My question is, if they respond to the situation the same way that people who don't know Christ respond, we have a problem. If the 50 are anxious, they don't know what to do, they are scared, crying with everybody. In fact, those who don't have Jesus have to encourage them and tap them, it's going to be fine. We have a problem. Why? Because if you are a true believer and you really believe and know that God is your Father, he loves you, you are his child, therefore everything will be fine. He's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. Therefore, things will be fine. And the moment you do that, then you can turn and help other people to embrace that confidence, that peace. And that's what the Bible says, that don't be anxious, but let God know in prayer, with fervent prayer, about your needs. And once you do that, you can get up from your needs with what? Confidence that God heard you. And if the queen, if the king of the universe heard you, things will be fine. And when we understand this, God will bless us beyond measure. Here is the connection that Paul is doing, and I've been sharing that because I think it's important. Paul is making a connection with the Old Testament, with the Ten Commandments. He's making a connection with Jesus in the Sermon of the Mountains and the Beatitudes. He's making all these connections. And I shared before, the second set of commands are communal commands. Those are the commands that we receive to live in community. But those are as a result of you and I living first the first set of commands. And those commands are personal. In other words, my personal relationship with God, as I embrace the first five commands, now I am transformed and I can go into the community and live those commandments out. So if I go in my first commandments, you shall not have other gods before me. Okay, I got it now. No one, nothing. You are first. Okay, you should not take my name in vain. Okay, now I have that. I would not do that. I honor you. I love you. Three, you should not make for yourself an idol, not out of your children, not out of the horses in a derby. Don't, because I saw that. Don't make for yourself an idol. I don't care what it is. Don't make an idol. Okay, I got that. You are first. You are first. And then he says, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. And then you said, okay, I'm going to work 7 days, and then 1 day, 6 days, and then the next day I'm going to rest and recognize you, that you are my Lord, you are my rest, you are my Sabbath. And then he says, now turn around and honor your father and your mother. Regardless who they are, regardless what they do, honor them because they were the channel for me to bring you into the earth. Honor them regardless what they do. You do that, now you have five. Now you are ready to go into the next five. You should not steal. You should not commit adultery. You should not covet. You should not lie. But the only way you can live these five if you start here, right? Same thing with the Beatitudes. Jesus is teaching us, you know, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, humble. And because you are humble, you are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn because they will be comforted. Blessed are those who have a pure heart because they will see God. So you start seeing, connecting all of this, and God will bless us beyond measure. Those are the connections between the Beatitudes and the commandments. But it's important that this is not an ethical religion. This is a transformational religion by the power of the Holy Spirit, testifying to each one of us that we are in God and He is in us and we are with Him. Now, at the end of the Ten Commandments, you have this powerful passage that people sometimes don't read. Okay? It says, now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were what? Afraid. And they what? Trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die. The thing is that people are doing this even today. They don't want to pray. They want you to pray for them. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. You talk to God. I don't talk to God. You know what? God right now is asking us to come to Him. That's the beauty of the Christian faith, that we can talk to God directly. We don't need anything, right? So here is the revelation. He says, Moses says to the people, do not fear what? Do not fear, for God has come to what? To test you, that the fear of Him may be before you, that you may not sin. And here is the revelation that people don't understand. The God that we worship is a holy God. He's the judge of the earth. He's powerful. He's consuming fire. And once you understand that, you're going to have the fear of God in you, and you're going to say, I cannot come close to Him.
Because he's too strong. He's too powerful. I'm a sinner. How can I do that? So the people were asking Moses, and Moses understood who God is. So he said, do not fear. He's not here to kill you. He's here to show you, reveal himself to you, so you may not sin. What is the application of this? That when you are in a situation where you can sin, when you are tempted in all directions, it's not your covenant, your commitment, your brother, your sister, my wife, my children. It's not speaking in tongues. No. What is going to stop you and me from sinning is the fear of God. That's it. But here we are, thinking that God is not, no, God is consuming fire. And because of that, we need this connection with God. Now, the beautiful thing here is that Moses was limited. He was a fallen man, being an intermediary between men and God. But now, we are part of a better covenant. Can we read this together? So now, this is the Old Testament, now we are in the New Testament. So God is saying, I was revealing myself to you. I'm unfolding my plan to you. I started with me. We started with the Father. The Father was offered to us. We rejected the Father. Then the Father sent the Son. The Son died on the cross. We rejected the Son. And now the Son says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And now we are rejecting the Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus is saying, if you reject the Holy Spirit, there is no more forgiveness for you, not in this life, not in the next. Why? Because this is it. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is no more salvation out of these three. And because of that, we need to embrace this understanding that now we are part of a better covenant with Jesus Christ, who is man, 100% man, and 100% God. And because of that, he understands when I'm suffering. He understands when I'm crying. He understands when I'm in a situation where I'm tempted, because he was tempted in everything without sin. That's the faith that we are called to be. And we are called to live out all these actions, all these beautiful actions that John the Baptist preached. And he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And then he said, and produce fruits in keeping with repentance. And people forget that part. We all repent, but we fail in producing fruits in keeping with repentance. Are the fruits there? So people see the fruits, they come and taste the fruits. Are these fruits part of repentance? Or this is out of our own flesh, our own heart, our own arrogance, our own pain and frustration? Or are we going to offer something better, a better covenant, better fruits? What fruits, Pastor? The fruits of the Spirit. Those are the ones that transform people. And as we embrace this reality, God will reveal to us that everything began with fear, but fear is not enough to transform a life. What transforms a life is love. And when we move from Moses to Jesus, God is saying to us, yes, if you get to heaven based on fear, like, oh, God is going to kill me, God is going to kill me, that's good. But you know what is better? Get to heaven because of God's love. Because you love him so much. And because you love him so much, that's why you don't want to disappoint him. You don't want to offend him. And that's why you don't sin. Totally different from, oh, I'm not going to sin because he's fire. He's going to kill me. No. What is better? Love is better. So it says, the obedience that flows from love is what? It's stronger than the obedience that flows from fear. And you see that if you join again and again, friendships are based on fear. And people usually say, well, Satan, the enemy, and the gangs in darkness, they said, why is better? You know what? My people are better than your people. Why? Because my people really obey. We are what we are, and when we say something, people get it done. In the church, they don't. In the church, what they do is they go to church, they are hypocrites, they say one thing, they do another, and you say, you're going to tell me that those people are better than my people? And you know what is the answer to that? That's the beauty of the gospel. The answer to that is that in the kingdom of darkness, everything is about fear, evil. You fail, you pay. In the kingdom of heaven is about God, love. You fail, you repent, and God loves you and restores you. Pow! And even though it looks like weakness, is not. Jesus was weak on the cross, but he was powerful because he was redeeming the world. So in other words, our kingdom is better because even though when we fail, we can repent. So that drives Satan crazy. He doesn't know what to do with that. Because for him is, you mess up, boom, you got it. You mess up, boom, you pay for it. That's why they live in fear. That's why they obey. But what God is expecting from us is that we obey because of love, not because of fear. That we love each other so much that we help and serve each other because we love each other. And when we do that, God will transform us. So this is the pattern. Bless those who persecute you. Empathic and being empathetic with other people. Live in harmony. Associate yourself with people in low positions. Be humble. Understand that everybody has been created at the image of, with the image of God. We are all the same. We are all equal. And Jesus come and put this together. You know, walk with all this understanding. But if you and I come to the church with the only purpose to get this done based on human will, we're going to have a problem. Your gas tank is going to run out. Because the only way to do this is with the power of heaven, that the Holy Spirit comes through us and begin to transform us, and we experience God himself. I'm going to stop here because we have communion, and number two, we have baptisms. Hello? Okay, so put your hands together. That is good. We're going to have an adult baptism today, so we are excited. I told you that I was suffering from PTSD, so you know, we have been working with this family and sharing the gospel with them and walking with them. And Carolina, she's going to be baptized today. She said, I'm ready to go to the waters. And I said, and I have water. Let's do this. But first, let's come to the table and experience God's presence, because the table is the place where we are transformed. It's a means of grace. And as we practice these principles of Jesus left for us, we're going to prepare ourselves for the week, because we don't know what will be happening or what we will face, and the Holy Spirit will help us. Let's prepare our hearts and our mind for communion. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks, and after he broke it, he says to his disciples, this is my body, take and eat, which is given for you in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Take, drink in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Loving Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon these elements and make them for us the body and the blood of Jesus. Because it is written, every time we eat from the cup, we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we shall go out and announce the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross until he comes. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's make our confession of faith. 1, 2, 3. Love you. Heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proved God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are going to help us to serve communion today to come forward, and also the ushers. Come and eat. The Lord's table is open for those who love Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank you.
Let's pray.
God of peace, teach us to hope in your promises, love our enemies, and overcome evil with good. Make us instruments of your peace in a world of conflict. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let's have baptisms. Are you ready? Let's do this. Okay, I'm going to do this in two languages. Okay? Carolina, ¿crees en Jehová Dios, nuestro Dios, como Señor y Salvador?
Sí.
Carolina, do you believe in God, the Father, creator of heaven on earth? ¿Crees en el Padre, creador de los cielos y la tierra?
Yes.
¿Y crees en Jesucristo, nuestro Señor y Salvador?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? ¿Crees en el Espíritu Santo?
Yes, sí.
¿Crees en la Iglesia de Jesucristo?
Sí.
Do you believe in the Church of Christ?
Yes.
¿Crees en la vida eterna, el perdón de los pecados y la segunda venida de Cristo?
Sí.
Do you believe in the second coming of Christ, the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body?
Yes.
Con la autoridad que me da la Santa Iglesia de Jesucristo, yo te bautizo en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. With authority given by the Church, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Eso. Aleluya. Can you stand up and just celebrate this? She's going to change and come back. Hallelujah.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you choose. take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At your feet its treasure store. Take myself.
My hope is that every time you come to St. John, something is happening. You come with an expectation that God will do something in our midst. If you do that, God will start moving like never before. Because this is not about a pastor or a worship band. It's all of us coming, expecting God to do something. Because if I bring my little stick of fire and you bring yours, we can make a bomb. The whole house will be on fire. My hope is that we stop bringing eyes to the sanctuary and start bringing fire to the sanctuary. Don't bring more eyes, ice cubes. No, let's bring stick with fire. And God will show us powerful ways to keep impacting the community. Are we ready? Not yet? So, in case you forget, remember that now we are putting together all these sprint teams. Please contact, you know, either Andrew or someone if you want to help. Doesn't matter if you are going to be a member or becoming a covenant partner or not. We need everybody's help. So you can help us come and connect with Andrew, connect with others, and we're going to keep moving forward. The next 2 Sundays are key. And if people are not here because they are traveling, what we're going to do is, at the end of every service, we're going to open a space to receive covenant partners until Christ comes. So no one can say, I didn't have the opportunity. So we're going to do it until we make sure that everyone had the opportunity to join the church. But let's pray for Caroline as she comes. And this is a beautiful story. We start sharing the gospel, and she has been helping and connected with other people that have invested in their life, like Wanda and others that have been connecting. Está hablando de la historia, cómo ustedes han invertido en la vida de ella, tanta gente invirtiendo en la vida de ella. And then today, you know, we are seeing these fruits, and last week she was ready for it. So let's put your hands together to welcome her. Husband. Okay, so here's the certificate of baptism that she's receiving today, and a little gift. And we have here what? There is a devotional, Jesus is Calling, right? And then she has other little gifts here, and pens, and the whole nine yards. Enjoy. Okay? So just an appreciation, just to share that we love you. And can you raise your hands like this toward her? Let's pray. And before you go, please say hi to her and welcome her. Father, thank you for Carolina. Thank you for this time. Thank you for her commitment, her desire to honor you, and not only to receive from you what you did on the cross, but also the obedience to follow you into the waters. Thank you because you are God, and we bless her and we cover her with your blood in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go in peace. And I'm going to read everything because it's already 11:42. But go in peace. God love you.
Here am I.